Hi, and welcome to Lakeshore Update. I'm Sarah Dykstra. On this edition of the podcast, we'll hear some information on Indiana's top growing cities from Annie Ropeek, and Jill Sheridan reports on five new opioid treatment programs that are being used to combat the epidemic. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Update. The Indianapolis suburbs are growing, while rural areas of the state lose residents. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Annie Ropeek has more.
Indiana's fastest-growing city for 6 years running has been Whitestown in Boone County. Its population has more than doubled while it's topped that list, says IBRC analyst Matt Kinghorn.
A few years ago, we were seeing more growth in Marion County and Indianapolis proper, but that's slowing down a little bit, and now we're starting to see the more pickup in the suburban communities.
In fact, 2016 census data shows 13 of Indiana's 15 fastest-growing cities are in the so-called donut counties around Indianapolis— places like McCordsville, Bargersville, Westfield, and Carmel. Kinghorn says their gain is rural Indiana's loss.
So we're not seeing a lot of people drawn to the state right now, but we are starting to see a little bit more movement within the state.
Kinghorn says the limited census data available for 2016 shows more than half of Indiana's townships losing residents, particularly young adults. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Annie Ropeek.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update from Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm Sarah Dykstra.
Luke Kemley was reelected to another four-year term just last November, but he says he told people on the campaign trail he had two final goals.
The future of education legislation at the State House could change with Senate budget architect Luke Kemley retiring this fall. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith has more.
Their balanced budget and creating a long-term road funding plan.
So I accomplished those objectives, and I've worked with some people to make transitions in the appropriations area, and so it's just time to move on.
Kemley is viewed by many as a moderating force in the conservative Senate GOP caucus. Longtime policy analyst John Ketzenberger says Kemley's retirement could create a more conservative shift in the chamber. He says that's particularly true if Kemley's replacement as appropriations chair is Republican Brant Hirschman, as many expect.
But I think also with that position and experience that it's hard to be an ideologue in a place like that because you have the most comprehensive view of the state government.
Kemley's last day will be September 30th. Precinct committee members will choose a replacement for his Senate seat. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update from Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm Sarah Dykstra. Back in November of last year, the city of Gary invested in a culinary food incubator called the Art House, a social kitchen. Lakeshore Public Radio's Stephen Lattimore reports that local businesses say the culinary incubator is helping them sustain and expand their businesses.
The Art House Food and Social Kitchen Culinary Business Incubator Project in Gary is now bearing the fruit from the investment made to get it off the ground by Bloomberg Philanthropies and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation. At a recent showcase at the Art House, local food businesses got a chance to show off their best.
Chocolate chip and toffee is pretty much the perfect mixture.
Sweet potato cheesecake and our Snickers cheesecake.
It's just moist, and it wants you to come back for more.
Arlene Peterson is with the Art House Social Kitchen. She says it's great to see the harvest from the seeds that they have planted.
I think that's the amazing piece for me, to see these folks who maybe been baking out of their home or doing their little product on the side, but now really are thinking as entrepreneurs, as business people, and like, how can I do something next? Like Keon, now he's got a kiosk. I guarantee you, kiosk, next thing in him, there's going to be a cupcake shop, you know, somewhere set up that he's going to be, you know, having cupcakes 24/7. They all are ready to kind of, again, take it to the next level from, you know, I've just been doing this on the side and I'm doing this, but let's start thinking as a business. Let's start thinking as an entrepreneur.
Frank and Timonique Jones run California Jones Catering. They say the help that they have been given from the Art House Kitchen is invaluable.
But there's so much more room here, and just the equipment that is available is good.
One thing that I think that comes to mind is that we talked about, why do most food industry businesses fail, and especially restaurants. And it was mainly because of the food cost and the cost of labor. So what I had learned from there is that they helped me to make sure that my food cost is very low so that we can make a profit. And right now, since we are the only two that are in there, I don't have to worry that much about the labor cost. But when it does come about, I have to make sure that with my finances that I tailor that into our business, that we can continue to thrive, continue to grow as we do so.
Organizers hope that the Art House of Social Kitchen in Gary will develop a thriving restaurant district that will add revenue and jobs to Gary's economy. In Gary, Stephen Lattimore, Lakeshore Public Radio.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update from Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm Sarah Dykstra. The Mounds Greenway is generating support from some, but importantly, not all local public officials in East Central Indiana. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Nick Jansen has the story.
The mayors of Westfield, Carmel, and Noblesville joined the mayor of Muncie in voicing public support for the Mounds Greenway. The Hoosier Environmental Council envisions a trail along the White River between Muncie and Anderson, and the nonprofit wants to see the trail eventually extend west past Anderson into Hamilton and Marion counties. But first, the Greenway would have to make it to Anderson, where the Herald Bulletin reports Mayor Thomas Broderick wants more information about the project's funding before he offers his support. The Hoosier Environmental Council's Tim Maloney says it would be very unfortunate if Mayor Broderick didn't end up supporting the plan, because one long trail is better than many short trails.
But, you know, there's still a lot we can do with the Mounds Greenway in the meantime, and, you know, reaching out from the Cardinal Greenway in Muncie.
Funding for the project is still an open question. First, Maloney says the Hoosier Environmental Council needs to gauge interest from landowners along the proposed route. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Nick Jansen.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update from Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm Sarah Dykstra. Indiana will add 5 new opioid treatment programs across the state to help combat the ongoing drug abuse epidemic, and the initiative will also include coverage of the treatment drug methadone. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Jill Sheridan has more.
Studies have shown that patients receiving methadone are more likely to remain in treatment and to reduce opioid use compared with placebo or non-medication treatment.
Indiana Medicaid currently only covers 2 other FDA-approved medicines to help people manage addiction. The new coverage comes with 5 additional opioid treatment programs where Hoosiers can access methadone. That brings the state's total to 19. The new sites are strategically placed to address access issues. Governor Eric Holcomb says the locations are based on recent overdose deaths and naloxone administration.
We're meeting the need where it is most urgent.
The counties adding programs are Allen, Johnson, Monroe, Vigo, and Tippecanoe. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Jill Sheridan.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update from Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm Sarah Dykstra. Here's John Kane with a look at Eye on the Arts.
Joining me for this edition of Eye on the Arts is Phil Potempa, the Marketing Director for Theater at the Center, at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts in Munster, where we're all housed.
That's right, our neighbors.
We're all neighbors. So the next show is what, Phil?
It is The Tin Woman, and it is nothing to do with The Wizard of Oz. So if you're thinking it's some kind of a spin on Wicked or trying to capitalize on something that's got to do with Dorothy, it does not.
That's sad. I thought maybe the Tin Man had at long last found love.
That's right. It is about heart, though, so there is that connection or correlation.
I see.
And what it is it's our summer offering, so usually we do a play, so it's not a musical, it's a play, comedy and drama, and it's based on real-life-inspired events of a woman who had a heart transplant, wrestling with what happens in the aftermath, and reconnects with the recipient's family. So the young man who donated it, his family returns to kind of form a bond and a connection with her. That's what unfolds. And it's a wonderful play by Sean Grennan, who's done other works at our theater, such as Making God Laugh, which was a big hit because, again, he adds that comedy element to it. So it's a nice sort of a family offering that people should enjoy for the summer.
Hmm. And so something that sounds there's a slogan here on the poster you brought me, inspired by a true story, a heart transplant recipient learns what it means to truly give one's heart.
Mm-hmm, that's right, exactly. So think about that and scratch your head a little bit, right?
It sounds so profound.
It is. So we like to call it a little bit of thinking man's theater, but our audience is like comedy, so it is got a lighthearted nature to it. And a chance to learn something because it happens all the time. Our neighbors down the street at the hospital, they're the ones that talk about the importance of organ donation. So this is what's going to hit at home and connect with a lot of people.
And how large of a cast is this show?
The cast is a cast of six, so it's not large, but it's a special cast because I mentioned the playwright, Sean Grennan. Well, our leading lady who plays Joy, the woman who is the Tin Woman because mm-hmm. she's had the recipient, you know, purpose of the heart, she is the sister of Sean Grennan. So we have the playwright's sister in the lead role, and she originally into this role up north at Peninsula Players in Wisconsin, Door County, Wisconsin. So this is a role that she did in 2014 during the world premiere. We have the Chicagoland premiere, mm-hmm. and she's joined by a fantastic cast of supporting players, including a very, I would say, bit of an acerbic nurse that she has to wrangle with during her recovery period. So that's, I think, where some of the comedy elements come in.
So then after Tin Woman, what comes next?
Our big splashy, and that's a pun intended, musical for the fall, The Big River with the music by Roger Miller, and that's the musical telling of Mark Twain's story of Huckleberry Finn with the added bonus of Tom Sawyer tossed in there as well. So that unfolds for the fall, and again, that's something that's not been done anywhere around here, so we have another premiere.
Hmm. And Christmas is?
Christmas is It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life, the musical version of it. So everybody knows about the angel getting its wings, but also add a musical element to it. And it's a nice family, kind of a chestnut offering for the holidays I think people will enjoy.
No, I think that's going to be perfect. And you have lots of special events peppered in.
That's right. Yep. As you know, when you're walking through that Center for Visual and Performing Arts in Munster, we do a lot of programming that complements things happening in your art gallery. We want more bodies to come in and see us. And one of those things that we have is yours truly. It's the Phil Potempa From the Farm Cooking Show, a second installment.
Oh, you're going to be duh.
Yes, that's right. You can't just be a one-hit wonder. You got to prove yourself. And this is the Harvest Edition, August the 27th. So cooking fun and surprise, a seven-course meal whipped up on stage. Great ticket price, $25. Hey, you can't go wrong with that. And then also our master magician that we have, Dennis Watkins, returns in August as well. So a couple great August events, end your summer with and start looking towards the school year.
So do you do this tilling of the soil and and sowing of the seed and reaping of the harvest yourself?
I sure do. Yep, a farm boy raised, and we still farm. It's peppermint and spearmint at our farm. So it's family-owned. It's small by today's standards, 150 acres, but the neighboring farmer helps us out with the rest of that. But yeah, I get my hands dirty.
And so you've known about farm to table for a long time.
That's right. That's not a new concept for us. It's just what we do on the farm.
That's wonderful, Phil. I'm glad you're such a renaissance man. Okay, well, just in a few seconds, what might we look forward to in the next season?
Well, we're not going to announce it yet, but we're going to say it's coming in the next month. So in July, you'll be finding all those titles out. So stay tuned.
Oh, yay. I just love suspense.
Good. You're in the right place.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, thanks, Phil, for being here to tell us about The Tin Woman. And I'm just so sad for The Tin Man. I really thought this was love at last. But
well, July the 13th through August the 13th, come and see us.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Eye on the Arts.
That's host John Kane with Eye on the Arts talking with Phil Potempa, Theater at the Center's Marketing Director, about the upcoming performance of Tin Woman from July 13th through August 23rd. You can hear this conversation and previous editions of Eye on the Arts online at lakeshorepublicradio.org. The first 6 months of the Trump administration in Washington is bringing a sense of optimism nationwide among the country's small businesses, and we wondered if Northwest Indiana small businesses are sharing in any of that optimism. We asked Lori Felt of the Northwest Indiana Small Business Development Center and economics professor Micah Pollack of Indiana University Northwest to talk about it on Wednesday's Regionally Speaking program.
Unfortunately, there's not a small business confidence measure that I know of regionally, but you're absolutely right. The national data is quite strong. The Small Business Confidence Index rose steeply starting in about November of 2016. So if you want to attribute that maybe to other events like the presidential election, I'm not sure. But it's at its highest level in about 10, 11 years, something like that.
That's good.
any indication, at least what you've talked about with people about and what you've seen in the journals and all that you track, as to why we see this at least on a national basis?
So I definitely see things at the ground level. We work with small business owners all over Northwest Indiana. So, you know, I can't necessarily extrapolate what I see locally, nationally. But certainly what we hear and read about the confidence measure is that there are really three primary issues that may be driving that. The expectation that there's going to be regulatory reform, as well as tax reform and healthcare reform. So, you know, certainly looking at current events, maybe some progress has been made on the regulatory front. Not so much yet on the other aspects, taxes and healthcare, but I think still the small business crowd may think that that is coming or that some deliverable is coming in that area.
Micah, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I agree with Lori completely. I mean, much of economics is driven by expectations. And so you have, you know, this president that is kind of unlike any other president we've had before, is not a political background, has a, you know, business background. And so the natural assumption is that this will be good for business and that he will be able to enact policies that will help businesses in general and small businesses in particular.
When you take a look at this information that and you hear just on almost a daily basis from small businesses here in Northwest Indiana, what are they because you mentioned the regulatory aspect we know is pretty certain, at least we've seen what's happened so far, and we know we're just waiting to find out about any tax reforms that may come about and what impact will have on small businesses, as well as what we see is on healthcare. Those are two very important areas. What do your folks with that work with the Small Business Development Center feel about the taxation issue first, and about what they see about the impact that a change in the healthcare system is going to make?
And, you know, I should preface this by saying when we meet with a client, we're focusing on helping him or her find more customers, perform better financially. We're really not so much engaging with them on what they think about national issues. But let's use taxes as an example. I don't know that everybody's aware of how much business owners are affected by something like the self-employment tax. So, you know, that is the portion that most of us have employers pay for us that covers things like Medicare and Social Security. So small business owners are particularly affected by the need to cover that tax themselves in addition to the other taxes that they're liable to pay. Mm-hmm. So taxes are really an important thing to a business owner.
And as far as healthcare, I know here again we're just waiting to find out what plan is going to be put forth here. We've had one chamber of Congress chip in on that. We're waiting for the other now to talk about it and make a proposal to be considered. What seems to be the thought about what needs to be done for healthcare?
A very difficult and complex issue. I mean, it's hard to know of anybody that has their arms fully wrapped around it. But, you know, in this affects small businesses in different ways depending on their size. I mean, the under 50 employee crowd aren't as affected as the over 50 employees companies are. But there's this sense that something needs to be done. And I'm sure, you know, we hear on a day-to-day basis of things occurring in Washington and you're never sure what's going to be done. But I guess there's maybe a sense on the part of small business owners, perhaps, that, well, something's going to happen that may be better than what we have now.
Okay. Micah, what do you see from the studies that you do there at IU Northwest and working with the folks here in Northwest Indiana?
Sure. So taxes in particular is kind of interesting. So I don't know if the listeners know, but if you look at how much tax revenue is collected in the United States as a percent of all the income that's earned in the United States, we're actually extremely low. If you look at all 35 developed countries, only Korea, Chile, and Mexico have a lower tax revenue as a percent of income. So we're a relatively low tax nation if you look at most developed countries. However, if you look at something like corporate income tax, we're the highest. We have 35% corporate income tax rate. Now, that's the official tax rate on paper, but most corporations don't pay that high. If you actually look at how much, once they figured out how to do go through tax loopholes and deductions, you're looking at more like 25% tax rate effectively, which is similar to other developed countries. But one of the key points of the Trump tax plan is to reduce that corporate tax rate from 35% all the way down to 15%. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of small businesses are kind of responding, seeing that big reduction in the numbers. And for many, this may have an effect because, again, if you're a really large corporation, maybe you're not paying that 35%. Maybe you are paying 10 or 15%. But if you're a small company, you're not able to afford the necessary lawyers and accountants to find all these loopholes. And so if it turns out that this kind of converts the effective tax rate to something closer to 15% that everybody pays equally, that could have a big effect on small businesses.
And is that the indication that you get too, Lori, that that the lower tax rate, although there'll still be a rate that which the government will be able to draw some revenue, is still not going to is going to have a less serious impact on small businesses than what they're paying right now with the higher rate?
I think they're very much hoping for a lower tax rate. Mm-hmm. And to Micah's point, you know, the tax returns of your average small business owner are fairly simple. There's not a lot of opportunities for them to have creative deductions like there might be with much larger companies. Yeah.
They're going through as much as they can to try to save money on taxes with whatever legal help that they happen to have, or they can get have assistance. There's not much, I guess, that you can do from the center's point of view, but at least you can offer them the direction to find people that do know the answers to the questions.
Absolutely. We love to refer our great professional resources around the region, whether they're CPAs or attorneys or what have you, to assist with that. But, you know, it's not easy being a small business owner. It's a very competitive landscape out there. Day to day, they are really in the mode of, you know, fighting fires and just trying to appropriately serve their customers and keep enough cash flow in to make payroll. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not easy. So any little bit of benefit or hope for a little bit of benefit is really important to them. Okay.
Micah, when you take a look at the data that comes in, and some of it, I'm sure, you know, it hasn't maybe yet because we're so new into the administration, but we'll end up getting, I guess, in some way into the Northwest Indiana Economic Index. What can you figure out from what you see out there all the time, and what Lori's mentioned here, that's going to have a real impact on the index to let people know here's how businesses in Northwest Indiana, big and small, are doing.
Sure. So right now, we still see a lot of uncertainty, both in healthcare and taxes. There's a lot of ideas thrown out there, but it's not clear how many will be implemented and how they'll kind of end up in terms of the details. Once that settles down, I think we'll see a larger impact on Northwest Indiana and the nation as a whole. Maybe I can take this chance to kind of plug the Northwest Indiana Economic Index. Anyone interested can go and check out this index. Mm-hmm. The address is go.iu.edu/NWI. And there you can find the Northwest Indiana Economic Index, which tracks the health of the Northwest Indiana economy, as well as measures of Northwest Indiana gross metropolitan product, how much kind of income and goods and services are being produced in Northwest Indiana. And anyone interested in, you know, keeping track of how these changes are affecting the economy, I recommend going there and checking it out.
Let's take a moment and talk about at least what's come up in past indexes here up to the time that we're talking now. And I guess would also include up to the time of the start of the new administration in Washington, how things look here in Northwest Indiana.
Overall, things are doing okay. One of the kind of the ongoing stories we've had for a long time now is that we've been losing manufacturing and goods producing jobs, which are typically higher paying jobs with better benefits, and we've been replacing them with lower paying service sector jobs, food and retail service and things like that. And so in terms of the numbers of jobs, things are looking good, but in terms of the types of jobs, we should have a little bit of concern there. And even, you know, something like retail sales, which has traditionally been pretty strong in Northwest Indiana, has been struggling lately with retail shops closing, you know, uncertainty about Strack and Van Til. And so kind of this traditional source of at least one positive aspect in our economy is kind of a little weaker right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lori Felt, even though that you don't have a lot to say about what the other businesses have as far as their impact, I'm sure, though, that you do hear from folks that contact you there at the Small Business Development Center, their concerns about how the economy is doing in Northwest Indiana right now. And I guess because they have uncertainties, they're right in the thick of it, it seems like. They probably are looking for help and some advice in how they can kind of stay above the fray, so to speak.
Yeah, and certainly when we offer our no-charge services, we've primarily focus on financing, business plan, helping folks with their marketing, finding more customers. But we do hear a lot. I'll throw out an example of a complaint we hear on a regular basis, and I'm sure you've heard about this too, Micah, staffing and finding a skill set that's appropriate for whatever open position a small business owner might have. Loud and clear, the skills gap is a major issue in the region.
Yeah, I'd echo what Lori said. it's kind of a chicken or an egg problem, where if you train, you know, the workforce but don't have the jobs for them, then they leave the area. And if you don't have the workforce, it's hard to create the jobs in the area. So, you know, we've had a lot of emphasis in Northwest Indiana on tax climate and making an attractive location, especially being so close to Chicago. We haven't had nearly as much emphasis on making sure this is a place where workers want to locate and providing the suitable education and keeping them in the region.
I guess that's just as important, because you have workers that maybe that can be easily trained into the opportunity to get into these higher paying jobs, more technical jobs. Seeing that's what we're seeing now. We're not seeing the traditional manufacturing jobs as it has in the past. We're seeing these jobs requiring a certain amount of technological skills, and you can get the training, but I guess not only as you say, you have to have the jobs to keep them here, but you also have to, I guess, attract them enough to stay here so they can go through their training and stay put, don't you?
Well, absolutely. And that's, I think, why initiatives like the South Shore Line expansion, the transportation oriented district, and trying to really change kind of the living environment in Northwest Indiana are so important.
Mm-hmm. Lori, when you have a chance to talk with the clients as well as people that are interested in becoming clients, and you talk about these areas that you normally take care of for them, and they've in turn, as you've mentioned here, express their concerns or their about the shortcomings that we have here in Northwest Indiana, do they find, though, that there's still some points of optimism that they bring up to you when you sit down and talk with them?
Absolutely. That's, I think, one of the characteristics of small business owners and entrepreneurs is that they tend to have a very optimistic outlook. They're the kind of people who are willing to take a risk. Obviously, having a predictable paycheck from an employer is maybe an easier way to go than taking a risk and running a company yourself and not knowing what the outcome will be. So we hear a lot of optimism. We are delighted to see new companies start in our existing business clients grow and add jobs. I mean, that's exactly what we are here to assist them in accomplishing. So I think there is a lot of optimism.
Let's wrap up the conversation here with a little wish list or some thoughts at least here on the next 6 months as we continue on with this first year of the Trump administration and everything that's happening in Washington. Lori Felt, what would you say would be your wish that you would like to see things happen in Washington here as we get to the end of this year, as we've gotten halfway through it already?
Well, just to echo the desires on the part of our small business clients, certainly some form of simplification, tax reform would be wonderful. It appears clear that something needs to be done with the healthcare environment, so a resolution on those two issues would be wonderful. I will say this, we have been thrilled with the support received from the Small Business Administration. It's a new administrator at cabinet level there. Her name is Linda McMahon. She's already been to Indianapolis and attended one of our events there in May, and that was really something. It's not often that we've attracted the cabinet level SBA secretary to Indiana.
Do you think maybe that Vice President Trump, Pence might have pushed her and said, why don't you go down there and talk to these people? Sit in and listen to these things and find out a little bit more.
I think that could have been part of it, although I don't know. But she was a big hit down in Indy, wore an Indy 500 jacket for the better part of the day and really had a lot of fun visiting.
Micah Pollack, your thoughts here looking to the rest of this year that you'd like to see?
I'd like to see a lot more certainty. I mean, we have a lot of ideas out there, but they're all very early. And we have, you know, healthcare reform options and tax reform options. And it's great to talk about them and get these things starting to change. But ultimately, we need to know what the details are. We need to get these things passed, and we need to kind of move ahead. Uncertainty is not good for businesses. They kind of thrive on certainty.
For Lakeshore Update, I'm Chris Nolte.
Regionally Speaking with host Chris Nolte can be heard each Monday through Thursday on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can also find podcasts of the show when you click on the program's link. For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition with local host Sharon Jackson on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure to search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by bensound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Sarah Dykstra.